This Remote Office.fm Weekly Corking Show, episode number 28. I'm your host, Lima Hayati. Our guest today is co-founder of Cohoots. Cohoots is co-working space located in rural Casamain, Victoria. They're focused to support regional and rural entrepreneurs community. They also get a work open Christmas party on 21st December in the Theatre Royal Courtyard. So if you're in town, you should check them out. Let's hear more from Tim and Rhonda. Thank you so much for joining Remote Office Show today. How about your background, Tim or Rhonda, when you start building Cohoots? Is it Cohoots or Cohoots?
Cohoots.
Cohoots.
So we're from a little town in Australia with a population of 8,000 people. So it's a rural environment, fairly diverse population. And our background is in a lot of community work. Rhonda is a consultant in overseas aid and development, and I come from a background of community services and businesses and business coaching and all sorts of things. And we were just looking at the future, and the future of work being that geography doesn't matter where you are, you want to be where you want to work. And so it seemed to suit a lot of our plans, bring a lot of our plans together, and would be good for our community. And so we put it out there, the idea, and it had very strong community support and support from our local government, and being able to work with a whole different groups of in the community, I think was a good thing for us. So the co-working concept seemed to bring all of that together, and that's why we pioneered the independent co-working space in rural Victoria, our state anyway, about or three and just over 3 years ago we started. So yeah, and it was pretty lonely at the start because there wasn't much support. Everyone's in big cities and they operate in a different way, but that was how we got into it anyway.
So rural co-working in Australia, just you, the Cohoots, or is there any rural co-working space in Australia beside Cohoots?
There are lots and lots, and the big cities have a large number of co-working spaces.
But she asked about rural.
Oh, rural. Yeah. So in the last year in our state of Australia, Victoria, there probably, or in the last 18 months, there'd be maybe a dozen now, 12 or 10 in regional and rural areas. Some of them are more business hubs than co-working, but they call themselves co-working. Because Australia's population follows the coastline a lot, you'll see a lot in rural areas around the coastline, but there's very few inland, and we're a bit inland, and there's a few others, but not that many. But what's really good in the last 6 months is that we've found each other, and so that's really good to
collaborate each other,
and we can do things together, because individually we have no influence, and so that's been good too. Yeah.
The target of the demographic people who come to Cohoots, is there freelancer or their businessmen, or they have startup?
Mostly freelancers and a few employees who commute. Usually, it's interesting, and just like in big cities, the co-working spaces and communities vary, and some do concentrate on startups and or tech startups, and others are more general. And we're a general one, and in our town we have very few startups, but we have a lot of freelancers and people who are writers or sales managers or executive officers or IT people, architect, people who do community work. We have a community organisation, a couple of people who come in the mornings and then go off and do their stuff, and contractors. Most people are part-time, so we don't have full-time offices, which is just the nature of our space and our town, where there's another organisation that gets funded to offer cheap rent, so for offices, so we don't tend to have very many of those people. But each co-working space in rural areas is different too, and some have mainly offices and without many part-time members, I suppose, whereas we're the opposite. We have a lot of members but not many people in offices.
How about the workshop? So you have a lot of different professionalism. Yeah. So I think you sometimes create events. What kind of event?
So we started doing the events when we first opened, and that was a way for us to get to know our community. You know, in most of these little sort of small business ideas, we could have spent a lot of money doing market research, and we did some pretty low-key market research, but we didn't have time or money to invest a lot in that. And having both of us coming from a strong community development background, the easiest way for us was just to reach out to the community and to listen to them and to have events. And so the idea was that we just started with a couple of small events with different people to get to know them and to listen to them and to ask them what a space like ours could offer. Some of those, and we got a bit of interest. I think we were quite new, and so a lot of people weren't sure what this whole co-working thing was. And so we got a few curious people and a lot of people who I think thought, oh, it's nothing to do with me. The one that was most immediately successful was the women's group. Yeah. And so, you know, as you would know, women love getting together and swapping stories and sharing talking, ideas, talking and all of that stuff. So we started doing that one on a regular basis, and we ran that pretty consistently for 2 years. But I have to say this year we haven't been running so many, and there's a whole number of reasons that we can talk to you about that, partly because of the amount of time it takes to run them. And it actually costs us quite a bit of money to run those events, and we don't get a lot of return from that. So we're just re-looking at the way that we run events. But when we opened, they were a really, really good way to get to know our community. And then in the last year, we've been running events specifically focused for the Small Business Festival, which is a state government festival focused on small business. Oh. So for the last 2 years, we've run a couple of workshops and events for that.
I think you could ask them the money to register the event. So
we could. I know. I think there's lots of ways that we could do it.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges is, I think Tim will talk about in a minute, the viability of a co-working space in a small country town is particularly challenging when you've only got a population of 8,000.
Yeah.
So the way that we pay our mortgage and have food on the table is that I run my own consulting business. And so it's just a matter of who's got time to do what. Yeah. I think that's the biggest issue, to be honest.
I think that's one of the secrets for rural co-working, is that you do have another job to pay the rent, if you like. But with the events, it's also, you're asking about who are our demographic, and generally people in little towns, they have maybe 20% less income than people in the big cities.
Oh.
So they're not as consumer oriented. They're not used to paying for everything. We have a saying in the country in Australia, you can fix everything with a bit of fencing wire, and it's a bit like they're more self-reliant, and so they're not used to paying for everything. They'll do it themselves, and they live in bigger houses, so they don't need an office as much as what they do, say, in the big cities. And so all of those things mean that we do charge for events, but we don't charge a lot of money and the numbers are low.
Yeah.
And so you don't make what you put into it, I suppose, but there's other benefits for every event you run is basically marketing as well. Yeah. Is another return on investment for running that. But we still do a lot of different events and we have different community groups using the space because we're right on a big corner with a lot of good exposure, and so people have put artworks around in windows, and we've done a lot of community work as events, as well as events which we always use local expertise. We don't bring outsiders in to tell you how to do things. And someone will suggest, I need a workshop on social media. So we'll get a few people in the area who use a bit of social media and get them together, and people come to the event and we do peer learning. So they talk to each other about how they use social media and work out what's best for them that way, rather than having an expert telling you this is how you got to do it. And we find that works really well.
For people, you said before, for people who actually still not understand with the concept of co-working, how you translate to them, how you explain to them, is this co-working?
That's an interesting one, because in the beginning we thought everyone's digital, so with a website and with social media exposure and things like that, people will get the idea of co-working. And what we found it when we asked them, how did you find out about us, they would say the sign on the building, on the outside of the building. And we thought, oh yeah, that's pretty funny. But now what's happening more and more, people are saying, I found you on the internet, or I Googled you, or Google co-working in our town, Castlemaine. So the awareness is actually has grown. And I think by running events and things, people come in and they see how it works, and they, being a small town, they probably know one of our members, and so, you know, our members are always talking it up and explaining how it works. But there's probably a lot of people who understand what co-working is now, but maybe not how it works, how you become a member and you pay for certain hours and all of that kind of thing. But generally it's through events and
word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
And we've also always used the idea that we show, not tell. And so we offer people a free trial day. We get our members, after the first year, we got our members to tell testimonials. You know, that's always a good way to use that. We've had open days. We've had two open days. And so we're very comfortable and people know us. They're pretty relaxed. So, you know, people show them around, or we show people around a lot. But it is interesting because we still get people 3 years later asking, so how does it work? What do you do down there? And one of the lessons I need to learn is that people say, oh, is it like hot desking? I'm going, no, it's not hot desking. It's proper co-working. And they're going, oh, well, what does that mean? It's just like, yeah, all right. So it's like hot desking, but friendly, or, you know. But I think Tim, you know, when Tim built our website, he was very conscious of making sure there were little pieces of information and videos from, I think there's a Juicy video that he's used, you know, to explain the story of co-working, and we're getting better at telling that story now that we've been up for a couple of years. You know, we've got a little flyer that we share with people that talks about what's the difference between co-working and working in a coffee shop and working at home and, you know, stuff like that.
Maybe you should try to create video about your co-working space in a day.
I reckon you're right, but sometimes it's pretty quiet and boring. I mean, it would be interesting when we've got the dog there. I think she's more interesting, but yeah.
The chief happiness officer.
How about your books, Inside Out Co-working and Innovation Co-working?
That's not me. I just go and earn the money and he writes the book.
Yes. I've got a lot of this book written, but I think I'm already made my mind up that my next book will be a colour-in book. Because there are a lot of
book. Yeah. Book in no.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. Yes, we've had this concept of what we call inside-out co-working, and essentially it's a community approach to economic development, if you like, in rural areas, and which we see as working. So what I did was do, there's a lot of hype around about innovation and startups are the answers to economic development and blah, blah, blah. And looking into that and looking into the research around what traditionally has been happening as far as business support and entrepreneurs support, and looking at how what we thought was right, but looking at research to say, is it right or not? And so the inside out concept came up, where what happens in inside a co-working space is the community of co-workers. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is take that concept and put it out into our whole community, because there's people, nearly 90% of the businesses in our town are micro enterprises, and or 60% of those are probably sole traders. Not all of them will want to come and work in the co-working space, but they all want support, and they all want to network, and they want to talk to each other, and they want that emotional connection as well as business skills, if you like. So kind of the on the theory, I suppose, which the research brings out, it's the entrepreneur that matters, it's not the business. And so the inside-out co-working approach is just involving the whole community of entrepreneurs in our co-working space as such, so through events or things like that. And I suppose it's coming up to Christmas, so we're having our members' Christmas party, but we're also partnering with this theatre in town, Hotel Theatre, and having a orphans work Christmas. So for all of the sole traders who don't have Christmas parties, and for all the micro enterprises, you know, who don't have Christmas parties, let's come together and have one and celebrate what we bring, and the energy and the actual resources and enterprise that we bring to the community. So that's an example, I suppose, of inside out co-working. And so what the book is going to do is just to go through that and go through the research and then present what it is. And what it's meant to do is to help people who may want to set up a co-working space in rural areas. But it's also what I want it to do is to give people who traditionally support business in traditional ways to get their head out of the sand and have a look at what's going on around them, because the research says what you're doing doesn't work.
Yeah. What do you think in cohorts in 10 years or 5 years?
Interesting that you ask that. Very interesting that you ask that. We're not young people to start up a co-working business. And one of the things that we would like to see, we'd love Cohoots to be viable on its own basis, so making its own money, so that it becomes its own successful business, and to share running that with somebody else to free up our time. It wasn't our plan to be tied to a bricks and mortar, what we call a bricks and mortar business, you know, that we've got to be there 5 days a week. Personally, we'd really like to go on a holiday together one of the next 2 years, which we haven't been able to do for a little while. So what the vision for Cohoots is a little bit tied up in our vision for ourselves and our family, which I think is the challenge of, you know, when you start a business with your partner, that's, you know, you can't separate those out. But I think I'd really be happy if there's just a really solid core of members, a few more permanent members. We're looking at converting some space that we don't use very much at the moment into permanent office space, so that we can make that a bit more appealing to people who might want more permanent space. So less hot desking and some permanent spaces in there, and increase the membership. And ideally, if it then becomes its own successful business, that we can just let it run itself and we can dip in and out. But then we can, what we'd really like to do is start telling the story more broadly about rural co-working and a different way of working and regional enterprise development, you know, enterprise development outside of the main cities, that I think is relevant in any country that's got rural towns, that's different, why you need to take a slightly different approach to what you would do in the cities. And so I think there's a good story to tell there, and I think we'd like to tell that story. Yeah. I'm also very keen to keep doing my own consulting work, as much as it's what I do to bring the money in. I'm also very passionate about my work, which is a whole other story. And so somewhere in with all of that, we'll find that balance and make sure we've got time to enjoy the lifestyle that we've wanted to create here as well.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
And thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been really lovely to talk.
It was very insightful co-working story from Tim and Rhonda. You can follow them on Twitter at InsideOutCowork. Likewise, you can also follow us at Remote Office Co. Stay tuned for the next episode with Food Love Boston.